Chapter 43. Bunny sat in his armchair and looked at his phone. He'd spent a restless night checking it every 15 minutes, while trying to call Simone at least once every half hour. It was now well into the next day, and what little hope he had held on to was fading fast. Maybe she'd decided to run, to get going before her past caught up with her again. If he could just talk to her. He kept coming back to the clothes upstairs. She could have taken them if she'd wanted to. He'd been out at the St. Jude's match for several hours, what with the game itself, taking the boys for fish and chips, and then dropping people home, having the odd word and dealing with a few issues. Her clothes being left behind meant one of two things. Either something unexpected had happened, and she had been forced to bolt immediately, or she had left them so that Bunny wouldn't become suspicious. Neither option appealed. He hated the idea that she might somehow now see him as someone else she had to run from. He kept going over everything he had said again and again, finding fault. If she'd asked, he'd have gone with her. There wasn't much holding him here, after all, especially not now. If only he had found the right words. He had never been smooth, though. That was Gringo's forte. Speaking of which, while he had been waiting for Simone to either call or pick up, he had received several calls and texts from Gringo. He'd apparently been informed that Bunny had left the task force, and he wasn't happy about it. He was undoubtedly bathed in remorse for his performance in O'Hagan's a couple of nights ago, but Bunny wasn't interested. His ex-partner's text messages seemed to indicate he was going through the five stages of grief. But Bunny himself had just hit anger, and so, on the 15th call, he finally answered.
"Would you ever feck off? We've said all we have to say to each other."
"All right, look, I'm sorry about the..."
"I don't care. I'm waiting for an important call. Hopefully it's not too late to fix the damage your big fecking nose caused."
"What the..."
Bunny hung up and looked down at the phone. Then he nodded. Good. That was dealt with. Gringo and he were through. He could clean up his own damn messes from now on. Bunny didn't want any involvement in the slurry pit DS Spain had dived head first into. Whatever he and Cunningham thought they were pulling, it had gotten Dara O'Shea killed, and they were in all kinds of trouble. He was going to forget everything he had either figured out or heard from Gringo, but that was as far as it went. He had more important things to worry about. Gringo tried to ring back. Bunny hung up on him. When the phone rang immediately after, he was on his way to hanging up again, when he noticed the number. "Simone." In his rush to answer it, Bunny fumbled it and had to dive onto the carpet to retrieve the phone.
"Hello, Simone, is that you? Are you all right?"
There was a pause, and then a male voice spoke.
"No, it is not Simone."
"Who in the shitting hell are you?"
"I am..."
There was a pause, and when the voice returned, it sounded amused.
"Who I am is unimportant, Detective McGarry. What is important is that I have something you want, and you have something I want."
The accent was foreign. Spanish, maybe?
"Let me speak to Simone."
"You are in no position to be making demands. Try to remain calm, Detective. There is a way here that everybody can get what they want."
"I want to speak to Simone now. I'm going to..."
The line went dead. Bunny looked at the phone in horror. As he tried to pull up Simone's number to ring back, it rang again.
"Hello?"
"Do not test me, Detective. or the next time I hang this phone up, you will never hear from me or Simone again. Do you understand me?
All right. Yes. Look, I...
Bunny started to chew nervously on his thumbnail.
Look, I just need to know she's all right. I mean, how do I know that she's not... and that you've not just got her phone?
An exaggerated sigh.
Very well.
There followed a few seconds of movement. Then Bunny's heart leapt into his mouth, as a piercing female scream reverberated down the line. Simone! Bunny clenched the mobile tightly in his hand, clammy with sweat. The voice returned.
Please do not make me do that again. I do so abhor violence.
When I get my hands on you, you twisted little goat humper, I'm going to...
Hanging up, detective.
No, all right. Don't.
May I expect full and docile cooperation from here on out?
Yes.
Good. Now, as I said, Simone tells me you have something I want. Do you know what that is?
Bunny's mind raced, running through everything she had told him two nights ago. If this man just wanted revenge, then he already had Simone, which could only mean one thing.
The tape.
There was silence at the other end. It may have only been a matter of seconds, but it stretched out in front of Bunny, filled with the sound of his own blood rushing in his ears, the pressure on his chest as he held his breath. Finally.
Yes, detective. The tape. You have it?
I do.
Then it is your lucky day. I will trade it for Simone. She is of limited use to me, and frankly, I am already growing bored of her.
Bunny's mind was a cacophony of stomach-twisting images that he tried to ignore. He needed to focus.
You may be tempted to seek assistance from your associates in law enforcement in this matter. I urge you strongly not to. My colleague is watching your home as we speak. I will save us some time. I assume you will insist on an in-person swap of Simone for the tape.
Yes.
Sadly, as expected.
The voice sounded cheery.
There is so little trust left in the world. Don't you find...
Bunny said nothing.
Once we have finished our conversation,
the voice continued,
you will take the tape and meet my colleague outside, where he will take you to...
I need time to get it first.
The caller sounded as if he were disciplining a rambunctious child.
No, Simone told me the tape was there. If it is not, then we are done.
No, said Bunny, trying to think on his feet. It's here. It's just... I need to knock part of a wall out to get it.
He was remembering how a particularly industrious drug dealer in Glasnevin, accused of attempted murder, had hidden a gun in just such a way. If it hadn't been for the metal detectors, and his wife's preference for the bloke he had tried to kill, they never would have found it. There was a pause on the other end. He could sense the calculation taking place.
Very well. You have 10 minutes.
20? I've not got anything bigger than a hammer, and I doubt you'll let me go and get a lend of a sledgehammer.
15. Work fast. As soon as this conversation is done, you will toss your phone onto your front lawn.
I can't.
Goodbye.
No, wait. I mean, We've not got a front lawn. We'll smash it on the paving stones if you like.
Another sigh.
Very well. And before you check, your home phone line has already been disconnected. The first hint of suspicious activity and we are gone. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Anything out of the ordinary?
All right, I get it. Just don't hurt her.
Bunny could hear how defeated and desperate he sounded. He wished he was putting it on.
Drop the phone. Your 15 minutes has already started. Do not test me.
The line disconnected. Bunny walked to the front door, opened it, and smashed his phone on the paving stones outside. Connor Gilsonen, a slightly odd young fella of 6 or 7, was standing a few doors down outside his granny's house, whacking her wheelie bins with a stick.
What did you do that for, mister?
Reception was shite.
Ah, yeah, fair enough.
Bunny went back into the house and slammed the door behind him. He had been careful not to look directly, but he had caught a glimpse of the man sitting in the silver Audi about 50 feet up on the other side of the road. He had 15 minutes. He also did not have the tape the man was looking for.